time now for KJN's Heartbeat Today, daily program focusing on the people, places, and events that make the Nishna Valley a special place. Today's edition of Heartbeat Today is brought to you by Camblin Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. And here at this morning's program is your host, Jim Field.
Hi, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
I'm wet.
A little rainy overnight?
Yeah, not terribly wet, but wet.
I don't think we're going to complain about it. Didn't see any of it for, what, 3 months?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that how it goes, though? The bucket either stays upright or it just falls over and dumps everything on us. That's the way it works. A little bit of rain in the forecast, it looks like, for much of the week, too. At least a chance here and there. Brett's in with us this morning as he likes to get us started this Monday morning by telling us about Camblin Plumbing and Heating. How's Brett this morning?
Good morning. A little soggy, but hey, I ain't complaining. Cleaning your air ducts can be a real blessing if anyone in your home has allergies. The air that is distributed throughout your home should pass over clean surfaces or it will pick up the dust, mold, or mildew or debris that is out there. Camblin Plumbing and Heating uses a negative air approach machine that thoroughly removes any residue in your air ducts. We also have sprays that we can use after duct cleaning to alleviate any further growth of molds, and a spray that will also help with any odor problems you may have. Good clean air in your home is a deterrent against illness, and with our homes becoming closed up again for the winter season, it's a good time to get it done. Give us a call in Atlantic at 243-1512 or in Harlan at 755-3286 to set up an appointment.
Very good. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. Have a guest joining us in studio this morning. We're going to talk with Wendy Richter, who is the director of the Family Crisis Support Network here in the area. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to talk a little bit about shelters this morning. It's kind of the reason that a lot of these agencies started in the first place. It was the very, very most basic service that you could provide was shelter for abuse victims. But now that is, I guess, at risk.
Right. We learned in July, and of course for several years, funding has been a concern with budgets being cut for all of us across the state. But in July, we were informed that they were going to reorganize the entire state, and now it's been put into regions. And then according to the Attorney General's office, what they want to do is fund one or two programs in each of those areas, thus resulting in the potential of several shelters across the state to close.
Mm-hmm. Is that that's probably the service that folks are most familiar with. It's the most basic of services. When they think Family Crisis Support Network, that's what they think of as the shelter, but there are other services that you provide.
Right, absolutely, and that's what we try to explain to people is, you know, and I know these numbers just because I've had to figure my reports just lately, but last year we worked with 442 clients within the fiscal year, and out of that, 27 families were in shelter. So less than 10% of our clients during that year utilized the shelter services. So the other services that were used were our court services, our medical advocacy, maybe going to the hospital or responding to a rape call. Like I said, going into court, going into schools, doing presentations, giving community presentations. So, I mean, there's a lot of other services that we provide beyond the shelter. Now, having said that, shelter is probably the biggest safety issue because when someone needs to get out and have some place to go, the shelter is the most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a pinch, it's obviously going to be the most important service that you can provide just to get them away from the immediate danger.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to minimize that because, you know, all lives are important.
Right. Well, and one of the things that has come up is in this press release that went out, they talked about how many of the women in the state, men and women in the state who have been killed in domestic abuse incidents didn't seek shelter. However, what they can't tell is how many coming into shelter did we prevent a homicide? So, and that's so difficult. Prevention's difficult to gauge any time.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a meeting coming up. But, well, there's several meetings, actually, all over the state today. But here in Atlantic, there'll be one this afternoon at the Iowa Western Community College at 1:30. What's the purpose? What's the point of the meeting?
Well, my understanding is they want to get community input. They want one, to give their message out and say how difficult funding is and how hard it is to fund shelters when money can be utilized in other locations. And then the other side of the meeting is to get community input. Try and find out where all the communities are, what their thoughts are, what's going on. And again, this is what I've been saying in the last week or two since it's gone public is we have no intentions of closing our shelter. It doesn't matter what the headlines read. As a result of this reorganization, restructuring, regionalization, our board will not close our shelter. So that's a benefit that we have here just because, one, we own our shelter. And two, we have a reserve fund that our shelter can operate off of. Other programs aren't that fortunate. Now, if you compare us to some of the larger, more urban areas, such as Sioux City, we don't have the kind of reserve fund in the millions that Sioux City does, but we can continue operating for several years.
And that's what they've kind of talked about is regionalization. There are over 20 shelters around the state right now. They want to really pare that down into one in the different regions and things. How do they make the decisions which ones get funded, which ones don't? Is it simply a matter of who's got the most bucks in reserve that maybe can be most sustainable?
You know, we've been told for years, and this is the same agency that we write our grants every year. It's competitive. It all boils down to who has the best grant, who comes up with the best proposal, and again, locally, we're not the ones that decide. Those in Des Moines are the ones who decide what's best for us out here in rural Iowa, and that's unfortunate.
Well, obviously, with 24 thereabouts,
yes,
roughly, shelters right now in Iowa, I mean, obviously, some folks would have to travel to get to a shelter anyway. They're not going to be in every community.
Right.
That's pretty obvious. But when you start to regionalize down to, say, 6 across the state, gosh, you know, when you're used to having, let's just use Atlantic as an example. When you're used to having that service right here close by and not having to do any traveling, wouldn't it be a little more difficult if all of a sudden you suddenly needed that type of service and you had to uproot your family quickly and go, like, say, Storm Lake or someplace a little bit further away?
Right. Yeah, it'll be difficult. The other thing that we don't advertise a lot is we have to utilize hotels. There's times that a victim may not be able to travel from Clarinda to Atlantic to come into shelter, so we may put them up in a hotel for 2 or 3 nights just to stay safe until we can get them relocated somewhere else. So in a pinch, we have those options. Sounds to me like what the state wants to do is utilize hotels far more than we're doing now. You know, that's an expense, and then you have the difficulty of, in shelter, we have a kitchen. You can have your own meals. In a hotel, you don't have that benefit. So then all of a sudden you're struggling with how are we going to feed this family? What are we going to do? Where are we going to get them to? So there's a lot of things. I mean, there's pros and cons to both sides. It's just shelter is shelter. It's that I hate to call it, it's a Band-Aid, but it's a Band-Aid that's needed in those emergency situations.
Well, and also it's, you know, in a difficult time, it's nice to, especially when you're talking about a family, say perhaps young children, it's nice to try to keep things as normal in a not normal situation, but try to keep them as normal as you can. You know, if they're still able to live in a home, you know, have home-cooked meals and things, as opposed to living, you know, out of a hotel room where you're, it's kind of like vacation, but it's not really much of a vacation.
Right, and not a lot of room.
No.
And that's the one thing about our shelter is, and there's several shelters across the state that are like this, but we're not an institutional setting such as, you know, some of the largers that it's like dorm living.
Yeah.
Ours is a home. You go into a home, you have your rooms, you have your living room, your dining room, your kitchen. So it is, like you said, being in a home environment.
Yeah, right.
Safe environment.
Well, and that's the other part of it, too. You know, access in a motel, hotel type situation, you know, you don't have as much control over the ins and outs there, too.
Right.
Are these things being done other places? Are there other states where you can kind of look and see what's being done there?
Well, it sounds like this is a nationwide trend. And my understanding is the state of Iowa, those in Des Moines, the coalitions and the Crime Victim Assistance Division, are modeling after Michigan and Minnesota. Now, again, that's where we've had representatives from Minnesota who have contacted us and said, this is not working. And that's the thing, especially for those of us in rural Iowa who have seen the effects of regionalization from DHS, Iowa Workforce Development, mental health. It doesn't work to regionalize because what happens is then the funding and the services go into the urban areas, and then those that are stuck out in the rural areas have to try and travel. I think the goal of this regionalization with victim services is to maintain some sort of satellite office or something out here in the rural areas. But what we know is what's been done in the past, that's not happening. And that's what we in Atlantic don't want to see happen.
Well, and it's a pretty simple thing. I mean, budget cuts are pretty simple for folks to understand. We see that in a lot of different things. No one likes it when it affects something that's right close to home. But budget cuts in Des Moines it affects the money coming here. But just because they made a decision in Des Moines doesn't mean the shelter closes. That's still a local decision, right?
Absolutely. We have a local board. We aren't part of the state. We're a private nonprofit that we are controlled by a board of directors that are made up of individuals out here in rural Iowa. So they're the ones who make the decision. And yeah, we have budget cuts, but you know, we just read in the news last week that the state of Iowa had a surplus. We also know that the Crime Victim Compensation Fund that they've tapped into to fund programs has over $7 million in it. So I guess the concern for those of us that run these programs across the state is, why such a quick decision? Why are we doing this within less than 11 months? Mm-hmm. Why not give us some time to monitor what's going out here in the rural communities and see, is this the best idea?
So let's say, for example, the funding does get pulled away from the Family Crisis Support Network and it goes elsewhere. So what next? I mean, that leads to a hard decision. Maybe some extra, I assume if the shelter stays open, extra effort to try to find some funding veins somewhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of funding out there in different pots. It's just searching for those pots to find out how we can continue to fund our program without sucking our reserve dry. You know, unfortunately, if we don't get the funding and it goes to, let's say, Council Bluffs, then we have to look at working with Council Bluffs to monitor and make certain that they send someone out here. You know, for example, in the last week, just here in Atlantic, I can't give you the stats from all the communities in the counties we cover, but just in Atlantic, there were over 4 domestics. So what happens if we don't have advocates here that can respond to those? Is Council Bluffs going to drive out here? Is Council Bluffs going to put a person out here that would be in an office somewhere to respond to that? You know, there's a lot to consider, and especially if you have one advocate that's out here that's on call 24/7, 365, you're going to start burning people out. They're not going to want to do this work anymore. Then what happens?
So who needs to come to these meetings today?
Well, we'd like to try and get as many people as possible just to hear the message and, two, to be supportive. Not necessarily, you don't have to come, you don't have to ask one of the questions that we have, but just there to be support, that you've supported this program for years and you want to continue to do so. We want to pack the room.
1:30 at the Iowa Western Community College. You said it was in room number 141 there?
That's correct.
And that's the college here in Atlantic, in Cass County,
yes.
Cass County Center.
Yes.
And then there are also meetings all over the state, and you mentioned there's one tonight in Creston as well.
Right. That's at 6 o'clock tonight at Southwestern Community College, and I'm not sure what room that's in, but there's some of us who plan to go down and listen to that too, because we want to make sure that the message that's being given all over the state, or especially in our region, is the same.
Okay. Keep us posted.
I will. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it very much. I want to turn things back over to Brett so he could tell us a little bit more this morning about Camblin Plumbing and Heating. Brett?
Color creates 96 different colors and finishes for you to choose from for your next kitchen sink, lavatory, or entire bathroom. Color has become the number one manufacturer across America in fixtures and faucets and deserves your attention when you decide to remodel. Camblin Plumbing and Heating has carried Kohler for several years now, and we recognize that Kohler's quality is unsurpassed in their industry. Our showrooms and catalogs will give you the broadest selection possible, and of course you can't do any better than Camblin Plumbing and Heating for that professional installation of these fixtures that you deserve. Call us in Harlan at 755-3286 or in Atlantic at 243-1512. The thought of the day today is by Albert Einstein. Life is like riding a bike. To keep balance, you must keep moving.
That's true. All right. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that very much. And again, my thanks to Wendy Richter for stopping by this morning. And if you would like to have some input or at least monitor all that activity, you can stop by the Iowa Western Community College Cass County Center here in Atlantic at 1:30 this afternoon and check out the information. Hey, go out and make it a great day, and God bless America.